We're in Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. And I'll be reading from the ESV. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it, with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Father, we thank you for this truth. We thank you for Stu, who's coming to share about it this morning, and we pray that you'll be working through Stu's words to point all of us towards Jesus, Prince of Peace.
Didn't we have an amazing carols event just here a few weeks ago? It was brilliant. And then actually Adrian, who was our guest speaker, didn't he speak so clearly about the Christmas message, about the wonderful news of the first Christmas? I can particularly remember when he was doing the sketch and he was describing how we are able to make our way back to God. He was walking across chairs, wasn't he? And he was like going across the bridge of Jesus to get back to God and having a big hug from God. And this is true, isn't it? This is true. Not just a sketch. It's not just an illustration. This is true. This is true for every single one of us today. Every single one of us that has accepted Jesus. You know, this Christmas, we are in the embrace of our Father God. So looking at our reading today, this passage is often read at Christmas. It's a passage where the prophet Isaiah foretells the coming of Jesus Christ, written 700 years before the first Christmas, and announces the birth of Jesus. You know, verse 6, I love it. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. You know, in this passage really unpacks how this child is described, you know, with these four incredible names or characteristic. You know, as we receive him, this is what we are receiving. You know, we are told what this child will be like to us. You know, he is to us a wonderful counselor. You know, I wonder if anyone is facing a really difficult dilemma. You know, you need some counsel, working out what to do. Well, he is our wonderful counselor. We receive this gift of good counsel. You know, the door's always open. He's never away. You know, he comes alongside. He listens. He actually even understands our pain. You know, he is to us Mighty God. You know, he's in charge. Boris isn't in charge. He's in charge. The child Jesus, this child is Almighty God. That's what the passage says. He's Almighty God. He's sovereign over us, over all of our circumstances. Whatever we're in, he is ultimately, supremely, and completely in charge. He's Almighty God. There is nothing that is impossible for him. You know, he commands the wind and the waves to stop. You know, with the words from his mouth, he made the starry night. Thirdly, he is to us the everlasting Father. He's a Father. We have a God who is a perfect Father. The best there could ever be. Always present. Not an absent Father. Not a detached Father. Not one that's distant or aloof. He's kind. He's loving. He's encouraging. He's a Father who's life-giving. I mean, there's so much more to say. I mean, he's the everlasting Father. He says, never will I leave you or forsake you. And lastly, this child given to us is the Prince of Peace. In the text, prince doesn't mean Jesus specializes in conflict resolution. No, the word prince here is from the word principality, meaning he's in charge of peace. He's the king of peace. He's the ultimate authority on peace. Isaiah states in verse 6, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. You know, governments, peace agreements, they come and they go, but his government, his peace agreement will last forever. You can let out a cheer if you want. I mean, this is astonishing, isn't it? So when we accept Christ, the Son that is given, when we receive Jesus in our hearts, the King of Peace, his peace governs our hearts. His peace, the government of his peace, overrides all conflicts, storms, family issues we may face this Christmas time. His peace is in charge. You know, Jesus, you know, he is the ultimate wanted gift to us this Christmas. But I wonder if you've ever received an unwanted gift at Christmas. A gift that you didn't actually want. You know, why not turn to the person next to you and ask them if they've ever received a gift they didn't want? What was it? Some of you might need to kind of move along the rows. Okay, well, lots of potential unwanted gifts there. Well, this newspaper article, I came across this a couple of weeks ago, but it was a few years back, and it's a survey of the most unwanted Christmas gifts. I wonder if any of the things you've just talked about, I wonder if any of those are on this list there. Toiletries, alcohol, candles, calendars and diaries, socks, clothing, jewelry, toys, food, and other. Now, actually, in the other, okay, I know Gaynor would put in that category a garden gnome. You know the ones at Asda that you see at the end, kind of like they come out, I don't know, gardening season. I think they're giants, the giant ones. I think they cost about £25. But actually, this would be probably one of the most unwanted gifts. Because Gaynor has said if she ever was bought one of these and given one of these, she would actually get a hammer to it. I have so wanted to see this. I have had to resist buying one of those garden gnomes. Now, don't you get any ideas? Someone said that might look like Gaynor and I when, in a few years' time. But anyway, actually, back to that bar chart. You know, some of those gifts, I think we want some of those gifts, don't we? I mean, I wonder how many pairs of socks can you wear? Not enough. You can always wear more pairs of socks, can't you? So socks are a good present. Actually, for some people, Jesus is an unwanted gift. In the first century Palestine, some people didn't want Jesus around. He was unwanted. You know, as we read in the Gospels, in one place, a whole village asked him to leave. In another place, a crowd tries to throw Jesus off a cliff. You see, the Jews of the time, they wanted a freedom fighter. That's why he was unwanted. They wanted someone who would put an end to the Roman oppression and the rule and the taxes. They wanted Jesus to there and then remove the tension and the conflict of being occupied by a foreign power. But Jesus came to do something far bigger, far greater. You know, he came to win for us everlasting peace. Peace with the person who has created us, peace with our Father God. You see, this peace that Jesus wins for us, it's not the absence of conflict this side of heaven. You know, conflict still exists, doesn't it? We hear about it in Syria or the Mexican drug wars. We're aware of conflict. We're aware of conflict much nearer to home, perhaps. You know, maybe in your home, maybe at work, maybe with your boss, or maybe there's some long-standing tension in your extended family. And the peace we receive, it's not the absence of conflict. It's not a feeling either. It's not an emotion. It's not the feeling that you might experience when at last, you know, all the family leave the house and you can shut the door on the world and you can sit down in front of your favorite movie, It's a Wonderful Life, or Elf, or get your video game out, or maybe get the bubble bath out, sink into a bath. Actually, it's not an emotion or a feeling. No, the peace that Jesus wins for us is much bigger and much broader and much, it's eternally significant. You see, the peace that Jesus wins for us, this peace heals the greatest conflict. It heals the greatest division of all time. You know, this is the conflict between us and our Heavenly Father. You know, remember the sketch, I've already referred to it, Adrian's sketch, where he had these three chairs. And we were on the furthest chair. We were away from God. You know, we were away from our relationship with God. You know, we were away from the one who knew what was best for us. And we were away from our Creator God, and we got distracted by created things. Got obsessed in things, stuff. Got caught up in those things, thinking that those things would satisfy us or make us feel complete. But the Bible states very clearly, we divided the family. You know, we turned our back on our everlasting Father. We became even enemies of God. Actually, with no way back. We were way off. There seemed no way back, except there was one way back. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And Adrian reminded us, didn't he, that our Heavenly Father sent his Son to be that bridge to win us back. Colossians 1:20 so clearly says it, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And as we accept Jesus, we are at peace with God. What do we mean by this peace? Well, Baker's Theological Dictionary says this peace rests heavily on the Hebrew word shalom, which means to be complete or be whole. You know, when we accepted Christ, we have been made complete. We've been made whole for eternity. When we accepted Christ, we have been brought into this shalom, into this deep shalom. We are today at peace with God, our Father. It's amazing. You know, say to the person next to you, it is good to be in shalom with God. Becky reminded us a few months ago, you can't add anything to this. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. It's a gift. It's complete. Nothing can be added to what Jesus has done for us, what Jesus has given us. It's incredible. Incredible. Is it? You know, we can feel like, you know, we've messed up. We haven't got anything to bring to God. Well, we haven't got anything to bring to God. We haven't. We can't bring anything. We can't contribute anything to the wonderful completeness of his gift. Our sins are forgiven. We are complete in this deep shalom. And we can go the other way, can't we? We can think, oh yeah, you know, through our efforts, we are adding something to what Jesus has done for us. You know, we can feel good about ourselves maybe, or we can think that we gain something by some kind of effort. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. We are complete. We have received this gift, and this gift has brought us complete, deep shalom with Christ, with our Heavenly Father. We are with Him. Not by works. This is a profound and complete gift that we really need to get hold of every day. Every day. We are complete. We are whole. Nothing is missing. Christ has done everything. Today, tomorrow, next year. We are at one with God. We are complete. We are whole. Just pause. Just close your eyes. Just pause and just receive this wonderful truth. You know, Jesus, forgive us when we think that we can bring anything other than ourselves to You. But we thank You that You have made us complete. You bring us into completeness with You. Okay. Do you know, this Christmas time, you know, you might be going into all sorts of different situations. You know, you might be going into some really hard situations. But this is the incredible thing, isn't it? In the midst of these difficult situations, you can know you are at peace with God. You know, for some of you, I've had the privilege of just walking alongside you, going through some really tough things. You've been enduring some really difficult situations this year, some real storms. And actually, these storms are still going on. Maybe these storms are in relationships or in a job situation. But actually, while you're in the midst of those storms, you need to know this morning that you can rest back in Christ's deep shalom. You are completely whole. He is keeping you steady. Jesus is in the boat with you. And this Christmas time, some of you will go maybe into conflict zones, like war zones with the family. And actually, some of your family members might really know how to wind you up. You know, you might be like, oh, you know, they've brought it up again. Why did they have to mention that again? Why did they have to bring that up again or say that again? And it's like, they shouldn't have done that. They should know better. They shouldn't have done that. But they did. And instead of like rising to the bait of the injustice, actually, you don't need to. You don't. Because you're living in God's shalom. Because actually you know that the greatest hurt, the greatest division, the greatest conflict, the greatest injustice in your heart has already been healed. Or maybe you find yourself at Christmas, you maybe find yourself as a time when you feel isolated or you feel alone. And the enemy comes and lies to you and says, actually, you're not complete. But that's a lie. That is a lie. The truth is, you are in absolute shalom with your Father God. You are complete. You are whole. And Jesus says nothing can separate us from His love. And do you know the wonder of this truth? You know, the wonder of this truth that we're at peace with our Father God. Do you know the wonder of this truth that we're at peace with our Father God as we get hold of it, as we let that sink into our hearts, we realize that we're also carriers of his peace. We're carriers of his kingdom, of his government. No, and we will bring his shalom to whoever we're going to be meeting over these next few weeks. And Jesus intended this. You know, we're sent ones. Jesus said, didn't he? Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. We are complete. The joy of knowing we're complete. And actually, we are sent to represent Christ and his heart of love for others. So I want to close now. I'm going to pray. Just have a time to let this truth, let the wonder of this truth sink in. Jesus, I pray for us that we will get a revelation, a deeper revelation of how complete we are, that we're missing nothing because of Jesus. Pray right now for us that we would see that. They would see that we are in the Father's embrace. And I pray that we would know just the overflow of his love and his presence with us, flowing out to others. Thank you, Jesus, that you bring us into this place of depth, of completeness with you, and you send us out to draw others in.